Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of All Booked, where we talk about books we'd like to recommend.
And our guest today is, surprise, surprise, Katie.
It's me!
She had a book that was selected for her by her Secret Santa that she really wanted to review. It is called The Trail of Lightning, and I think you really enjoyed reading it.
Yes, it was really fun. It was a good choice for me. It is by Rebecca Roanhorse, and it is a own voices apocalypse novel set in this new world after a climate crisis destroys a majority of America, either with drought or terrible flooding, things like that. And there's this group of people who are safe behind the walls in Dinesh. Might be saying that wrong. Did not listen to the audiobook version. But in theory, it is the old Navajo reservation. And one of their members saw a kind of like foretelling of the apocalypse type situation that would be happening. And they started building a wall around their reservation to protect them from rising waters and things like that.
I was about to ask how a wall would help with climate.
What? Rising water.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yes, and also, you know, in apocalyptic novels, nature is only part of the battle. The rest of the battle is
the real problem. The humans. Is the people.
Yes, the humans, they get a little desperate towards the end. But one really exciting thing is that not only is this like an apocalyptic novel, but also after this apocalypse, it starts the sixth world, which in this book means that heroes and gods and monsters and all of that come down and they just start roaming the world like normal. And our heroine is someone who has some magical powers related to her family tree that she uses to fight monsters that are killing people. I know, it's pretty fantastical, but I like that it delves into cultures that we normally don't see in our fantasy novels. That's becoming a lot more popular, which I really appreciate because I love Greek mythology, but dang, it can get boring after a while.
Yeah, you're already way too familiar with them.
You know it all. When someone says like, oh, this is Zeus, you're like, okay, so philanderer, like
long white beard.
Yeah, I already know. I don't need to know more.
This is the first book in a fairly long series, correct?
Yes, it is a longer series. They're still working on it, I believe. I have not read the rest of them. I've only read the first one. I may pick up the rest of them. I get kind of stuck on YA because that's like what I am supposed to read for my job.
Yeah.
And when I do make room for reading, I do try to read a variety. And sci-fi fantasy is usually my like background pick. So I may pick up the next one. I can't remember what it's called. Something similarly like Elemental, I think, though. It was a good read. There was a little bit of romance, which I feel like is hard to avoid sometimes, especially in apocalyptic novels, because people are like, what's the point of living if you can't have love?
Or, I mean, it could even just be the, we're about to die anyway.
Yeah, something to that effect.
Might as well try to make it worthwhile for a little while.
But I appreciate the way that it's made out. It's not the point of the novel. And it's not like the only reason they're near each other. You know, they're working towards a greater goal together. And like along the way, they get to know each other. And they're like, hey, we're kind of similar in some ways. That's nice. As opposed to the opposite in a lot of novels where it's just like, oh, you're so beautiful. I'm going to follow you in the apocalypse forever.
And the dude's like a terrible misogynist. And you're like, how do you guys even work?
Yeah, the guy in this book, I would not say terrible misogynist. In fact, gets made fun of a lot for being like too well-groomed in the apocalypse. Oh. Like he wears like a shiny silver tie and like fancy boots. And
so he's the guy when somebody asks what they would take with them on a desert island, he would pick a razor and like a grooming kit.
Possibly. But yes, so it's kind of an interesting role reversal that's not too stereotypical, which is nice.
So one of the questions I had for you about it being in part of a larger series is, did it feel like the plot was bogged down at all in world building for this book?
It didn't really. You were focusing mostly on the main character. And things were revealed to you as they came upon them. It was kind of like, as we journey, the more things will be revealed about the world. As opposed to, this is the world, and now let's zoom in on the person who's living inside of
it.
Because there's like a part of a road trip thing going on, so you learn a little bit more about the environment you're in. Like, you don't know there's a giant wall until like halfway through the novel. Because they don't ever see it. They're inside the camp. So then you realize like, oh dang, they like this person who came into the reservation had to do it by like traversing like this large wall. So you really feel like you're learning more and more about the environment as you're living it, but there's still a ton of questions, but not in a way that's like annoying, mostly in a way where you're looking at a map in a video game and you're like, ah, dark spaces. I haven't been there yet, but I will.
So with this being more based on Navajo mythology, mm-hmm. did you ever get lost or feel like you needed to look up any of the gods or myths to keep
Not
your place?
Really. There's a little bit where you're being introduced to a few of them at a time because they're not really, as much as some people know that they're like quote unquote back, they're not really huge parts of the story because it's not well known that they're like walking among us.
So kind of American Gods-esque a little bit?
Kind of, okay. Like that. And there's this one major one that the main character knows about, but you don't really get to meet, that people relate her to because they train together. And then there is this other one that she knows that no one else knows is like walking around called Coyote, which I think is a pretty like common, if anyone knows any like,
yeah,
like, yeah, anything, they probably know that the Coyote is a trickster god, you know, mischievous, probably not good or bad, but definitely tricky enough that you need to keep your eye on them at
right.
all times. Yeah. So that one is the major one in the story. But at one point you get introduced to like three or four, not in person, but they start talking about them, but they do it in a way that's good enough that you kind of see a family tree starting to form.
Kind of.
So it's a little easier to understand that way, but I'm sure there's plenty more to be revealed in the rest of the story, because like I said, you only get a few in this one.
How likable was Maggie?
The whole point of Maggie is that she's not very likable. Part of that is because she went through a pretty traumatic event where a bunch of people killed her family and hurt her, and that is how she got kind of adopted into this like hero life through being saved and trying to like heal from that. But she struggles a lot with the idea of trauma that is so bad that you can't like heal from it, that you become like
associated with it, kind
of? Yeah, like you carry the violence with you because that's something that formed you so much. So a lot of the novel is her trying to figure out like how to form bonds with people without being terrified that they'll like be murdered, how to trust other people to protect her since she's so used to having to protect herself after that happened. So a lot of the things that you would associate with that, but also just this idea of, because she enacts violence, does that make her as bad as the people that hurt her originally?
Oh, like, so some nice moral gray area.
Yeah, a good amount of moral gray area, yes. She also has dogs. So that's why she's likable, because she has doggies.
Yes, that works. What do you think sets this apart from other urban fantasies?
The urban nature of this is really, like, there are cities. There are cities that like collapse and kind of like people built up in the shell of the city, but it doesn't feel like urban at all. For a majority of the book, you're in like outlying towns that existed and were maintained, that are just like wood houses and things like that. You're driving through like the desert. Like, it doesn't feel like an urban fantasy. Like I said, it feels kind of like a
Mad Max sort of.
Yeah, like it feels very apocalyptic in the Mad Max variety, where you're just kind of like wandering the desert and then like you come upon people and you're like, ooh, I don't know about you. There's this like neutral ground that's a bar that's like at the edge of like the reservation that's really cool as well, and it's just this otherworldly feel. Like, it
yeah.
doesn't feel like it's built in the shell of America. It just feels like it's like plopped on a different planet and they're all just travelers.
What was one thing that you learned about while you were reading this?
One thing I learned, so there's not a ton that's like really concretely based in like actual mythology, but there was an interesting part when they talk about the wall and talk about building it. They started building it one evening, they went to sleep, and when they came back, it was fully built and it was made of different materials depending on which way it was facing, and those materials were important to the Navajo people. So I didn't realize, like, turquoise is something that a lot of people associate with the Native American tribes, but there was like onyx and I think maybe pearl, and so there were a lot of different things, and it made me really want to like look them up and be like, what does this mean? What does onyx facing east mean, or west? I can't remember. So there were like little tiny like tidbits of trivia that made me want to like figure out why it mattered, because like you can tell it does, you just don't know why.
Yeah. So one thing that's interesting, I know this is in our science fiction collection,
mm-hmm.
but something about the cover makes it feel almost like borderline YA. What do you think is the target age for this book?
I think new adults would probably freebie. It's one of those weird riding the line books. New adults, definitely. There is a good amount of graphic violence. I mean, YA has that too, but it's about this like early 20s person. So she's not really experiencing exactly the same kinds of things, because I feel like that's what makes a YA novel is the experiences that you're having in the journey that you're undergoing. So she's a little bit older than that, but again, because of her past and the way like she was raised and what happened to her, sometimes it does feel like kind of like a teen novel, because she doesn't have a ton of experience talking to people. She kind of just roams the woods and kills things.
Describe the monsters even a little bit.
Okay, super weird and creepy. The one that you hear about the most is this, like, I don't want to say werewolf because it's not a werewolf. It's like a person, but like bigger, with like a gazillion teeth and like a hunger for flesh. So it's this weird, it's like a golem kind of, but made of a person. They explain it more in the novel, and I think they even have a word for it.
It's not Wendigo, is it? No.
No. No, it's like a soulless like person that basically just wants to like eat people, which sounds like a Wendigo, but I don't think that's what they called it in the novel. And it's like in theory created by a person. Like, okay. Instead of a Wendigo, like, you know, they're kind of self-contained. In theory, like, a person made this monster and then, like, set it loose on the world. So, but they were very, like, creepy because they were like, no, they are not, like, furry. They're people. Gross, misformed, like, mouse-shaped people. Ugh. With a gazillion teeth, and their mouth opens, like, way wider than it should. So, what everyone loves in a monster.
Yes. Lots of teeth.
Yes.
Can we touch on very briefly the antagonist? What was your impression of him?
Well, without giving too much away, there are multiple antagonists throughout the book, and they change depending on what part of the book you're in.
So there was one particular one I was reading in a review where they basically compared him to like your most cardboard cutout Final Fantasy villain.
Yes. So that's her, I don't know, I don't want to give anything away. But yes, okay, so the cardboard cutout villain, I get where they were coming from. It was very much like if Hercules, the hero, was bad but didn't know he was bad, like he was so busy like protecting his interests and the interests of the gods that he didn't think about the effect he was causing on people. And because he thinks he's a hero in such such a broad term, he's just like always really happy, and he's just like, I don't understand why you're so unhappy right now, like why can't you be on my side, I'm doing the right thing, this is what the gods want.
Oh my gosh,
yeah, it's this very weird, I get where they're coming from, but I kind of thought it was an interesting, like, it was almost, like, creepy, like, how nonplussed he was about everything. He was just like, oh, no, like, you know, this is the will of the gods. That's my job. You know, I kill bad
I'm doing
people.
What I'm told.
Yeah, I kill bad people, and y'all are bad people now because you tried to cross me, so.
Oh, my gosh. That's kind of creepy.
It's creepy in, like if a four-year-old was able to, like, murder people.
Wow.
They're like, you did a thing that I don't like. It's time for you to die. Thank you.
That's funny. So why do you think this book was selected for you?
I think the person who selected it for me hears me talk a lot about how I like fantasy based in other cultures, because I feel like it's a new, interesting look at things that have been around for a long time but haven't been featured in Western literature. They probably hear me talking about that a lot, which is probably why they picked it for me. My other option was like this, like, 1920s film, like silent film, like weird space novel. Like it was a little too far-fetched for me. This one felt like an easy enough read, an interesting enough read that I would try to tackle it. But I think they did a really good job. They're just good listeners. Also, I ordered this book for the library, so they really did pick a good one.
That's funny. Okay, was there anything else you wanted to share about the book? Who you would recommend it to?
I would recommend it to someone who likes action-packed things, fantasy novels that are kind of like Mad Maxy, like you said. It's not necessarily about like overthrowing this large government or anything like that. It's just this like on the road again type monster killing.
Surviving after a fallout kind of.
Yeah, like there are societies set up, but she's not really welcome in them because of the job that she does and the associations people have with her. Like I said, she has magical powers, kind of, but not really. It's kind of like the ability to be like slightly better at stuff, but only for a little while. And then once you are, you're really tired.
Okay.
So she has like a final move But once she uses it, like, it better be the final move.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I would definitely recommend it for someone who likes fast-paced reads, something a little different, but not too different than normal, and doesn't mind a teensy bit of romance because it does exist. So if you hate it, you won't like that.
Thank you so much for bringing us a new and unusual in a good way sci-fi fantasy read. And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.